What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 479. And of course, right across the screen, across the world from me.
Across the world.
You're in the middle of nowhere.
I'm hours away. But
yeah, yeah. How many hours driving are you away?
I don't have any idea. I'll find out and report back.
Okay. Well, of course, trusty co-host Ryan. And this week's podcast is brought to you by our friends over at ADATA and their SC740 portable SSD, which we reviewed and I do have and I actually do use. And they sent us over a little video to tell you guys a little bit more about it. So I'm going to go ahead and play that right now. Alrighty. And you can learn more about that drive or actually go ahead and pick it up if you go to thinkcomputers.org/SC740. And the reason I like that SSD, Ryan, is that it has the built-in cable. So many times where like I take a drive with me and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have a cable.
Or you have a cable that doesn't like isn't up to spec for the performance of the drive, right?
That's not like a total.
It can happen.
But like if you just bring like a lot of cables are just charging cables, right? So like, right. I have a type C to type C, and then and it's like the drive's not turning on. Like what's going on here? And it's yeah. So I like that one because it does have the built-in cable. So again, go to thinkcomputers.org/SC740 and that will take you right to the Amazon page, I believe. So thank them for their support of this week's podcast. We have a lot to talk about. I took a look at a case, which might be, I mean, it's early in the year, but it might be my favorite case of the year. I really, really like this one. Ryan took a look at a new AIO from a company that we've never reviewed anything from. So we have that as well. We have an AI kill switch built into a browser, which I think is pretty cool. Radeon prices are going to supposedly go back up because of the ongoing RAM shortage. We have some really cool retro PCs to talk about, some new gaming handhelds, some Windows 11 stuff we're going to talk about as well, and of course just everything else. Now, if you do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page, which is right here. You can find that if you go to the website, go to podcast. And then it is this one right here, the top one. And then you have all the show notes. So if there's something that we're talking about and you want to learn more, everything is going to be linked right in here. So let's start with that case.
21 hours, 1,350 miles to drive. So
dang, you're really far. I didn't realize you're that far.
Yeah,
that's really far. Well, yeah, Ryan's in the middle of nowhere.
I won't be driving anytime soon.
So. No, definitely not. But I took a look at this awesome case right here. So this is the Height X50. And, you know, Ryan, if you like think about Height, they've always just seemed to do things just a little bit differently. Every one of their products has not been the norm. Maybe the Y40 was like the closest thing to the norm and had a more boxy shape, and it wasn't like the Y70, which of course has like the curved front panels, not curved, but what would you call that?
I don't know.
It has a different front, you know, the front panel's not flat.
Their keyboard, all in one that I've got here.
Everything has just been a little different, and this case is just that. It is very different. So this is their X50. And getting into the case itself, the one thing you'll notice if you look at the case from the outside is that there are no 90-degree angles on this thing. No 90-degree angles, all curved, all around. Even this is the power supply, which is at the top of the case, which, again, we haven't seen in a long time. Even this compartment is curved here. Like, this design, at least to me, it's like retro but modern at the same time. It kind of gives you those retro vibes for some reason. I don't know if it's the...
Yeah.
If it's kind of like the bubbly sort of
look. Some of those like rounded TVs or radios back in the day, kind of.
Yeah, it's just different. Now, we have the white version. This actually comes in a ton of different colors, in like really unique colors. Like, you can get this in purple. There's like a matcha green color. There's a red. There's, it will be available soon in their new astral orange, which is like the Valve orange color, which is awesome. But I got the white one. And this is going to be a standard mid tower. It's not like crazy massive, but it's not necessarily compact either. On the front, of course, we have this all mesh design, and this just pops right off. It's super simple, and you can see it's just holes. There's no filter on this. And then we have our cooling bracket here. This is going to support, of course, 360 millimeter radiators and everything like that. You can remove this cooling bracket if you want to. I didn't need to when I did my installation, which we will get into. And as we come up to the top of the case here, we have our power. We have two USB ports. We have a Type-C USB, and then we have a combination headphone and microphone jack. And typically, at the top of the case, you would just have more ventilation or more cooling support. But here, we actually have glass because the side panel is actually a single-piece curved panel that comes up to the top. And, of course, we have our power supply at the top, so there would be not necessarily a whole lot of room for cooling as it is. What do you think of, like, the glass on the top?
I don't mind it. I mean... In it, you have to do it like this, though. And even this, it's a little odd because, like, you wouldn't obviously put fans up there or anything to block it. But that power supply shroud just, like, covers so much of your build. But it's neat. I like it. I wish they would have done something a little different with the power supply area, though.
Okay. And then talking about that side panel, here it is from the side. You can see single piece. And again, it's curved. So again, no right angles on this thing at all. Gives you a full look into your system here. This does have some cool feet. And depending on the color of the case you get, the feet are actually going to be different. But here's the feet on the white. And then on the bottom, you actually have cooling as well. And this is where you will see that filter. So this is a removable filter. It's just magnetic, comes right off. You can see right there. So really, really like that. The opposite side is completely ventilated. It is also, though, a curved panel. So it curves at the top, just like the other side panel, which, again, is not normal. Nope. But yeah, all mesh right there for cooling and everything like that. On the back, pretty standard design, but again, sort of old school design with the power supply mounts in the top. And then you have all of this ventilation, and this is sort of a louvered design. Essentially, they cut the slits in the case for better airflow. And this is actually a patent-pending design by them, just to give you better airflow out of the case and everything like that. And again, it's not just where the fan is. It's actually on all of your rear IO covers as well. So that's pretty cool. Also, one thing to note is you'll see these right here. This case does come with included Velcro straps, and you can, because you have your power supply at the top, you can route that power cable down this way. And, of course, all of your other cables that come from your motherboard, you can route them down there. So I really like that attention to detail. And then getting inside the case is actually really, really easy. There's like just sort of like this opening towards the bottom of each panel, and then the panel just comes off super easy. And it's not hard, because the curved panel is, you kind of want, like, if you're not used to it, like, you kind of want to be a little bit delicate with it. So you're,
it is
very easy to take off and put back on, which I definitely like. The only thing is, like, typically with like a normal panel, you can kind of just set it somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, where do you set this? You got to have a spot for it.
Yeah, so if you make sure you put it, you like, don't put it up against something because it's easier to fall over. I didn't run into any of those issues, obviously, because I was being careful, but definitely something to think about. Inside here, we do have full ATX motherboard support, no back connect motherboard supports. And for how big of a case this is, kind of surprised that no extended ATX motherboard supports. There are cable routing holes, as you can see, all over. And then we have that side mount cooling right in here as well. And again, with the all mesh back, you won't have any problem with airflow getting into your system there. The bottom cooling is recessed, which I hope this becomes a thing because we've seen a couple other companies do this as well.
I do like it.
And again, you do notice that the recessed, even there, there's not, this is all curved. There's not right angles here. This is actually curved, which is just this nice little detail. But again, you can do 120 millimeter fans in the bottom of the case, which is great. And then again, you can see that louvered design on the rear IO covers and everything like that. Those use thumb screws. And then your power supply is at the top, which we'll get into. On the backside, taking the backside off, you can see, again, your power supply is going to go up top here. And one thing that I completely appreciate, which this is the only company that I really seen do this, we've seen better reinforced rubber inserts for your cable routing holes, but these sort of have like a lip on them, which allows you to better route your cables. And these don't come off easily like some of the cheaper ones do.
Yeah, yeah.
So these, you can kind of see those there. And then your power supply here, big opening for, of course, the fan, and then Velcro tie down for all of your cables. And you'll see how all that works once we get into the installation. Back of your motherboard tray, again, built-in Velcro straps here. This is a little hard drive storage tray here. It does support, I believe, 1 3.5-inch drive, and then 2 2.5-inch drives. So support up to 3 drives out of the box. And it's completely removable, easy to go ahead and install your drives. And here's another look at those sort of like flaps, I guess you would call them. Yeah, it just keeps everything more organized, and it's just easier to route your cables. So really, really do appreciate that. And another attention to detail, all of the cabling matches the color of the case. So it is all white, which again, I definitely like that there as well. When it came to insulation, I didn't really run into any issues. Everything went in like no problem, more than enough room to work with here. You know, there's the hard drive and you can see how it gets installed back there. Super simple. And if you had two, you would just stack them. They also, this case does not come with any fans. So you can choose the fans that you want. They sent us over some of their own fans. These are the FA12s. The FA12 fans. They're 120 millimeter fans. And they sell these in packs of 4. So they sent us over 2 packs. And I installed 3 in the bottom of the case and then 3 in the front of the case. And I was a bit worried because at the front of the case, like this is sort of closed off, this section right here. But I was actually able to route the cables down through and then to the back of them. So you can actually do that. And these fans do come with a splitter cable. So you can connect them all to that cable. And then nice. That's what you connect to your motherboard. So you don't need headers available for each fan. So I really like that as well. And then I put the final fan on the back of the case right there. Power supply goes in the top, slides right in, no problem. And just in general, you know, you want to make sure you have the fan facing the bottom for the proper airflow there. Graphics card goes in, no problem. I think the support goes up to 420 millimeters on this. So no issue with graphics card. Now, because the power supply is at the top, what I wanted to do was route my power supply cable or my graphics card cable down through here and to go here. So to go from right here. But I actually had to pull it out over here and it just fit. Like it literally just plugged in.
So yeah, instead of going down into the power supply shroud, you're going back behind the motherboard tray.
Yeah, and that's because our power supply is mounted at the top. So you're going to either want to have longer power supply cables or you're going to want to have like, you know, if you had a nicer cable, make sure, you know, it's an adapter, so you will have more than enough room. But that's the only kind of issue that I really ran into with installation. You can see with everything, like the hard drives tray is back on there. And that's what the back of the case looks like. Super clean. All of the Velcro ties work great, as you can see. And then that's what the finished build looks like. Just super clean. You know, and again, I still have room over here for fans. And again, if you're somebody who does an AIO, this is where you would probably want to put your AIO in the side mounts. So you could still do three fans at the front, three fans in the bottom, one fan in the back, plus a 360 millimeter AIO in the side here. So you could still do that if you wanted to. And that's with the side panel on. So really nice, clean build, which I like. Very quiet build, obviously, even with all the fans, very quiet, and temperatures were definitely in check. No issues with anything like that with our build. And I like I said, there's just something about this case. I don't know if it's just me, but for like not just being me, I think the case looks great for me. I really do like it. It's super easy to build in, and everything in it just makes sense the way it's designed and the way it's built. And for if you are a first time builder, this case is going to, you're going to have no issues building this case. It's going to be really easy.
Yeah, I'm not like a, I don't know, a huge fan of it. I will caveat that by saying there are some builds that look really good in this, and that's a little foreshadowing, but yeah, I mean, overall, height does a good job with all their stuff. They have a so much like intuitive or just like doing things different, like we talked about at the beginning, that are very cool.
Yeah, so really, really enjoyed this case and this build. I like my systems here, but like I said, it is just like a really cool case, and something about that curved glass just makes it stand out a lot. So I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. Like I said, I really like this one.
Yep. Old man says,
it looks like a streamer's PC case would be. I think it like, again, and if you got like, I have just the plain white fans, but like if you got some RGB fans or even put some things to make things stand out a little bit more, I think it would look even better. But just in general, yeah, it's a great looking case. It's $159.99. That's without any fans. And then they have a air version where instead of the glass panel, you get another ventilated panel. So no, which I think would be really great for like a workstation. You can't do extended ATX, but or like, yeah, if you're not somebody who like wants to show off the inside of your system, you just get the air version. I think that would actually look quite good. That one's $129.99. So I don't think it's priced all that bad either, to be honest. Like I said, I really like it. It's definitely like sits up top as so far one of my favorite cases of 2026. So yeah, we'll move on from there. And then Ryan, you took a look at a really cool AIO from a brand we haven't worked with.
Yeah, I took a look at the Level Play CL360 HUD, and really what that HUD name stands for is the heads-up display. You know, you think about that like in a fighter jet or like some cars have the projected speed in front of you. This cooler has a digital display that acts like a heads-up display and shows you some critical, you know, information about your system without it being a total like LCD screen that you might be used to in some other all-in-one coolers. But yes, this is the first product we've looked at from Level Play. So let's just jump right into it. They, of course, include all your mounting hardware that you need for current Intel and AMD systems. This is a cooler that does come along with some thermal paste and a syringe. It does not have thermal paste attached to the block from the factory, which is like a plus or minus. Does what?
Does it come with the fans attached?
It does. And okay. You say fans, but it's actually a single 360 millimeter fan. We'll get that in a second here. But overall, like, it's a pretty standard looking all-in-one, right? There's some all-in-one coolers that do stand out and look like totally different when you first see them. You know, think of like the curved screen LCD coolers, right? This is more just like your traditional looking all-in-one cooler.
Yeah.
Nothing like crazy flashy with the build overall. Standard 360 millimeter radiator. They do offer this in a white color as well. 27 millimeters thick. It has a 20 fin per inch measurement, which is pretty standard, right in the middle of what we would expect there. And yeah, pretty standard connections on the end. What I want to focus on a little bit is the, again, that fan that we just talked about. But here's a quick look at the pump housing here on the top. It's not a mirrored top or infinity mirror or anything like that. It's just a nice glossy black, you know, pump housing until it's powered on and turned on. Then the display shows behind it. And I kind of like that you can't see any of the screen or anything when you're looking at it at first, which is nice. Because sometimes when these things are off, like you can kind of see what's there, but it just looks weird when it's off. You don't get any of that there. And here's just a quick spoiler. That's what it looks like when it's powered on. You got a couple sections here to show temperatures. We'll talk about this a little more in a second. But that cap does come off of the pump housing. So, you know, I mentioned it's not an LCD screen that's going to show, you know, videos or anything like that, and that you would be able to digitally manipulate to turn, you know, 90 degrees and orient it how you need in your case. This one, it just pops off and is held on with magnets, so you can turn it in 90 degree increments to get it into the orientation that works best in your install. So depending on your case layout and, you know, if you need to route your cooling hoses in a different manner, something like that, you do have that option here, which is nice. It's just super simple. Some companies tend to like make that top piece that comes off connect with like some pogo style connectors or things like that. It just gets a little more complex. This is just a super simple magnets hold it on, and there's a cable that you route to the rest of your system, and it's just a USB 2 cable. So does have swiveling fittings here so that you can move those cables around. I did find these swivel fittings to be super tight though. I mean, like, you really had to turn them, and I was like really hoping I didn't break it or like, you know, spring a leak or anything. They're very snug, so something to keep in mind there. But a pretty plain standard looking cooler overall. Nice matte finish on the base of the cooler there. Nice copper plate.
I feel like we haven't seen the base of a cooler because they've all come
with, usually there's a pattern or just a block of thermal paste on it.
So it's not
the case here with this one. And I go back and forth on whether I like, if it's pre-applied from the factory, that's fine, but I want you to include at least a tiny syringe of thermal paste in case you screw up or, you know, whatever the case would be. Because sometimes you take that sticker off or protector off and you start to put it down, and then you've got to like stop and do something. And if you just like smudge it or whatever, then you're like, well, great, now what? Thankfully, they include a big syringe of thermal paste for this. All right, speaking of that fan, this is just a single 360 millimeter fan, all in one piece, though. It does look and is shaped like there's multiple fans, and it really seems like that because there's multiple screws. I just looked at the NZXT cooler last week, the week before, and it only uses four screws to hold that whole fan onto the radiator. Well, this uses a whole 12. Whatever, you know, however you want to do it. But so, yes, it does look like a three fan setup, but it is just a single 360 millimeter body with three 120 millimeter fan blades.
Gotcha.
In there cooling it. So it has kind of a pretty narrow range of speed, though. It only goes down to 800 RPMs and only up to 2000. In our test range, the lowest set of tests is actually 500 RPM. So in that test, and I kind of note this in our cooling graphs, keep in mind, like, that 500 number is actually running at right around 800 because that's the lowest it will go, right? And same thing up at the top. You know, we go 2,000 RPM and then a full maximum. And a lot of fans go over 2,000. Well, 2,000 is as high as this one goes, so the 2,000 and the max are the same results. So just a very narrow band there, unfortunately, with this fan. And not a lot of information, or actually no information, regarding static pressure or airflow numbers with this fan. So you kind of just got to base it off of the performance that you get pairing it up with that radiator. So, and then the nice thing about that being a single 360 millimeter fan body is you've only got one set of cables coming out of the side of the radiator and fan body. And you can't see it here in this picture, but it essentially comes out in the middle which I like because that gives you some options. It's not stuck to the right or left side of the fans.
Yeah, I like that.
And just makes cabling a whole lot cleaner when you're installing. Speaking of installs, super easy, right? The fans come attached to the radiator from the factory, so you don't have to do any work there. I did take off the cap on that pump housing just to make installation easier. It makes it smaller. You don't have to worry about scuffing that, you know, nice shiny cap on the top. Swapping out hardware on mounting for AMD and Intel is super easy. It just twists on whichever bracket you need. In this case, we're doing an AMD install here. Just throw on some standoffs onto your motherboard. Throw on the cooler and some thumb screws. Slap the top of the cap back on there, and you're pretty much good to go. You know, you've got 3-pin ARGB lighting for the fans, so you just got to find a header on your motherboard or lighting controller that supports those. Wire that up. You've got PWM power for the fans and pump as well. So just a little bit of cabling there, and then you're good to go. And yeah, I think the cooler looks very nice. Here's just a quick look at what is displayed. So you've got up top here a little arc bar that kind of shows.
Oh, I didn't notice that initially.
Yeah, and that's dynamic. So it kind of moves depending on the temperature of your CPU. Now, there's no software to install with this. You can't control what's being displayed or anything, but you do need to download and install a driver from them in order for this to display accurately. Okay. So you do have to install that, but there's no customization. Like what you see is what you're going to get here. But it'll display CPU temperature, how many watts your CPU is using, the speed it's running at, and then the load percentage. And there's another set of kind of like arrows down at the bottom that has to do with the amount of load that your CPU has. I think I had another... Yeah, I've got one on another page, but it kind of moves, you know, again, depending on that load. So kind of a dynamic look there, which I like. And it does refresh pretty quick. Those numbers, you know, they're not just like stuck somewhere. They fluctuate pretty nicely. Now, with this cooler, we do have a brand new test bench. We just updated the CPU and motherboard and some of those components middle of last year or so. But we've been using the same Fractal Design case since 2019 maybe.
Yeah, and the case came out
for our all-in-one
2016, I think. So it's an old case.
The Define R6.
Very
so,
old.
So we updated that to a new Lianli Vector V100 case. It's just a lot more modern. I don't have it linked here. It's just a lot more modern case for just current hardware and builds. So with that comes just a very limited, right now, single set of graphs and coolers in our testing setup. So going to go back, all the AIOs that we've looked at recently, going to throw those into this system, get those all benchmarked, and fill out these graphs so that you can kind of compare more, you know, coolers. So right now in our graphs, we've just got a single system to work off of. I will say that when I was building out my graphs, this cooler did perform similarly to a lot of the other coolers in the old case. So I didn't notice any anomalies that stood out to me that, you know, made this, you know, be like a high performer or a low performer, you know,
kind of just sat in the middle.
It was in the middle for a lot of these. And, you know, we'll adjust, you know, rating and opinion if need be, once we get more coolers tested in this case. I don't think it's going to change any of those a whole lot by any means, but there's potential there. So just kind of keep that in mind. And again, I talked about that, you know, 500 RPM speed rating that we do. Well, that's actually running at right around 800 RPM because that's the lowest that would go. But nothing out of the norm on the temperatures. Good temperatures all around. Same thing with noise. It was a pretty loud cooler. Once you get up to like 1500 and 2000 RPMs, it did get quite loud. The 1500 RPM was 51.8. Decibels, and then we're all the way almost to 60 at 2000 RPM. So some of that might seem a little loud. The Define R6 is actually a pretty quiet case. You know, it's got some sound dampening panels on it, so I think that helps that case out. So we'll see what those other coolers sound like here. But overall, I gave this a 7 out of 10. I'm pretty happy with it. decent idle and load performance. You've got a digital display that's kind of cool. That 360 millimeter fan is just like simplifies your installation and cabling. But there's no software. So like what you see is what you get. You don't control any of that. You know, you can't display or customize that display. And the tubing when installing it was actually pretty short. And so short tubing paired with those stiff fittings made that just a little like more stressful than it needs to be. Nothing that's like crazy or anything, but just like just something I noticed. Pricing on this is actually really nice. $95 for that. And like I said, this score could move up or down a bit based on once we get more coolers in there and kind of compare it to the others. But overall, just a pretty good entry cooler with, you know, that isn't just RGB on the pump housing, right? You've got kind of a dynamic display showing you information.
I like it because a lot of these, like, so that's like essentially a digital display, right? Because right. those things don't change. And a lot of times when it comes to the digital display, typically you just see temperature and maybe fit, like you just see a couple things.
Right.
You typically don't get those, like what Ryan is showing there, like that dynamic little arc. And for yep. that's for your temperature. And then the arrows towards the bottom for yep. Your load on it. That's actually pretty cool. Cause again, I've seen so many of these and it's just like CPU and GPU like there's not a whole lot of other things. So right. I actually really like that.
Yeah. And they change color, the arc. Once it gets like to almost your maximum temperatures or like a high load, it like the last end ones are like yellow and orangish red yeah. and stuff. So you can kind of tell visually that you got a high load there. I will say we also changed up the testing we do. We run 8 of 64 still. Previously we had only run that with the CPU being stressed. We've added a whole set of graphs where we test not only just CPU alone, but then we add in CPU and FPU. And that FPU addition really taxes
oh, yeah.
your system. And it did thermal throttle our CPU in this. But I think that's going to be pretty common with a lot of these coolers, because once you throw that FPU testing in there, it adds quite a bit more load. It's not necessarily like a realistic like gaming load. It is like really just torture testing your CPU. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but overall, good first product here from Level Play.
Nice. Well, definitely go ahead and check that review out as well. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. That's, of course, where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have the Project Flom build, which is in the Height. That's why I chose it, actually. It's in the Height X50. This is from our friends over at Liquid House, and this thing is sick. Obviously, black and gold, I love on this. And having that front-mounted reservoir slide, what do you call
it? Distro plate. Distribution. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting because you think of like water cooled builds and all these, all this tubing and everything, but then the GPU itself is just air cooled, which is again very, very interesting. All the different cooling and just, I love also for me, I like that it's a mixture of like this soft tubing with the hard tubing. I don't know how you feel.
Well, and that bracket there that like connects the two pieces, that's a product that Liquid House designed and sells and makes.
Oh, nice.
That's like their BLK bracket there for this kind of stuff. So I really like that they're using some of their components that they've designed in their builds, which is cool. And I'm always a fan of those screws, the type of screw. I don't know what you call them, but they have them on the fans. They have them on the front there. They've got them in all pretty much everywhere you're going to see a screw. It's like a screw with a built-in washer, and it's like I don't know what it's called, but I always love when they're used because I think they look real high-end and usually look nice. And
you know what's interesting, Ryan, that you say that these type of screws, see like mm-hmm. this little hole here, that's what holds on the glass panel. It's this type of screw, not this one has like the accent color, but it's the same type of screw. Maybe that's why they did that, but yeah
it could be.
Yeah, but yeah, I love this build. I like the colors and like, yeah, like look at just like the accents on all the screws that they use.
Right. Yeah, they didn't use that same style on everything there.
Yeah, just awesome, man.
And I noticed this, and I noticed that it wasn't on your review, so I think they probably designed this. The bottom of the power supply shroud.
Yeah, I did notice that right here.
It's they have like a baffled design or louvered design, kind of like the back of the case that they put on there, which I think looks really nice too.
Yeah, really, really cool. Yeah,
I and just great photographs.
Yeah, yeah, it just looks awesome. So shout out to Liquid House. They always have awesome builds. And again, I wanted to feature this one because, again, I reviewed the X50 and loved it. Yep. And I think this just shows you what, like, the extreme of what you could do in that case. This is definitely it. So shout out to them. Of course, we have it in our Case Mod Friday section on the site. And we'll move on to news. And we just showed you a build with a Radeon GPU. It looks like you're going to get a price hike on those. Obviously, the RAM shortage is still going on. It's affecting a lot of things. The two biggest things from this news story is that, one, AMD is going to focus more on 8-gig models. So the availability of higher VRAM Radeon cards is going to go down just because there's not enough VRAM to go around, and they want to prioritize the lower VRAM cards. So you're going to see that. Also, expected 5 to 10% price increase for GPUs because that VRAM is now more expensive. And obviously AMD is not going to eat that added cost. So yeah, you're going to have to pay for that. I think we're going to see this on both sides. I don't think this is just going to be an AMD thing either.
No. Yeah, it's, I wish they could have like figured out a, like a 12 gig variant, because for, you know, last generation, it was, we had so much conversation over the last few years of 8 gig and 16 gig, right? And 8 gig being just like not enough in 2025 and 2026, that like the minimum needs to be something like 12, right? So I wish they could have at least gotten us to that point.
Maybe we'll see like some different model that comes out that bridges that gap. Just for that specific reason, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, kind of sad to see. There's like a bug in here. It keeps on like, you know, like a little bug keeps on going like close away. It's like in here, and it's around.
All right.
Yeah. So something that we've seen a couple other brands do, and now Main Gear is jumping on this as well. If you don't know Main Gear, they're a custom PC builder, but they, you know, they have their own pre-builds and stuff like that. They have a new series, Retro 98 Desktops here.
And this isn't using like a Silverstone case?
I believe this just is rebranded Silverstone
case. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's using the Silverstone. FLP. This bug is just... it just like landed on me, and then it's getting close to like my balls. It's like one of those, like, I don't even know how to even go. I guess I went outside today. Got in here. Anyways, so this is super cool. So this is like, again, this uses the Silverstone FLP02. And it's like a sleeper build, you know?
And I said something in the description though, it was talking about some ketchup and mustard cables. I didn't see any of that here.
I don't know.
Like they offer it with some old school power supply.
Yeah. This one here.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You see that? Yeah, so pretty obviously these are the prices and everything, but I think it's cool that this stuff is coming back. We've seen a couple other brands do this as well with pre-builds and stuff like that. And like, if you're somebody who's buying a new PC, you're like, oh, it'd be so cool to have a retro one. Well, now you can get one. This all happened because of Silverstone, right? If it wasn't for Silverstone coming out with these retro cases, and we're going to see some from Thermaltake coming out soon as well.
But I mean, people have been building.
Yeah,
they've been retrofitting old cases to fit new gear. But this makes it worthwhile.
Well, yeah, because the thing about finding an old retro case and then building a modern system inside of it is that a lot of times you have to mod the case to fit the things. Nothing fits. I mean, these are here, which is comical, but they're not necessarily like.
I think they're functional, aren't they?
On the silver, I believe they are.
On the Silverstone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, yeah. On a normal case, like if you did want to do 360 AIO on top, like you had to like cut this out. And again, like compared to newer cases, none of this stuff was modular. It was all fastened
riveted together.
Yeah. So you had to like Dremel it out. And so this just makes it much better. Whether again, you're going to get a pre-built from Main Gear or another one of the brands, or you just want to do your own Silverstone.
Back in my day, we had to Dremel our case windows out.
I wonder what this front piece, do we have a link to, like, you see these things on the front?
I think that's, could be like a 5 1/4 reservoir or pump, because that was liquid cooled.
Yeah, that's actually super cool. Oh, wait, why are these all, that's weird. So if I select this one, I select this one, maybe, wait for my super slow fiber internet that I have. See that right there. I can't make this bigger. Wait. I guess that is like a little reservoir thing.
Oh my gosh. And the tubing they're using has like the old school coils around it, like it used to do. And
the old power supply.
To keep it from kinking.
That is pretty cool. And like the fans have the like an old kind of an. Guess you would
those are the Alpha Cool, super nice fans, actually.
Yeah,
but yeah, we used to put on like the fan covers, and you could get custom ones, like a radioactive symbol or something, you know.
Oh man, back in the day, man, back in our day, I think it's super cool. Old man said sleeper build with a turbo button for overclocking would be interesting. Yeah, so this turbo button, that's on here that. From at least in the Silverstone case, it puts all the fans at the highest speed. That's what that turbo button does. But I'm sure you could some way mod it to make it do something different, for sure. But shout out to Main Gear for that one. I think that is super cool. There's this company called Geek, G-E-E-E-K. They have this really affordable open air micro ATX case. I don't know what you think about this one, Ryan.
I'm usually not a big fan of open air cases outside of like test bench. They're just not my style, but I mean, it's neat what you can do.
I think this would be like a perfect test bench, sort of.
I don't know. Cause I feel, at least for me, when I'm building or like swapping out an AIO in cases, I'm always moving the thing around, and this doesn't have a way, at least looking at it, where like I can set it on its side real easy and without having to worry about it. So I don't know.
For $70, though, it doesn't seem like that big bad of a thing. I like it.
Acrylic on the inside?
Yeah.
Yeah, acrylic materials, acrylic. Okay.
Yeah. And like, this seems like a little handle. Like, this would be like a nice little LAN machine, I think.
I don't trust people at LAN parties to have an open case.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, that's true. Nice little LAN machine. I like it. For $70, it's not all that bad. So I like it. I'm a fan of it. But yeah, we have links to all of that if you're interested in that case. Now, here's something I thought was pretty interesting. So Western Digital, they have found a way to make hard drives faster. And not by making them NVMe drives or, you know, solid state or anything like that. They're using this new dual actuator tech to go from essentially 273.9 megabytes a second. I know for most of you guys this is slow, but this is a normal hard drive. This is not a SSD. This is not NVMe. To go all the way up to 554.1 megabytes a second. What do you think of this, Ryan?
So I think this is good. I'm surprised nobody's done it sooner. The thing you have to keep in mind with this, like, it's great for like sequential transfers of data, because that's where you're really going to see this. But And that's for like when you see, you know, an example is like copying like a big like ISO or something, right? It's one file. So it's stored in usually in one spot on a drive. So on a hard drive, it's just like that head doesn't have to move on the platter very much. It's just going to spin and constantly go move a little bit while it, you know, moves that file. What it's not going to help with is your random access like an SSD does, right? An SSD can access any spot on that storage instantly, as opposed to a drive that's got to either wait for an arm to move or the spot on the platter to spin around and make it to that head to read it. So it has awesome implications for just moving a lot of data that's sequential or very close to each other, you know, fast, right? And that really excites me. I really like this product. It's just not going to like speed up like your random reads and writes.
But
it's cool.
Yeah, so pretty cool. So we have the article if you want to learn more about it. But yeah, pretty interesting stuff. Always, it's always interesting to see. You can't call it like old tech, but like older stuff getting a little bit better, I'd say. Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool. Steam Machine. We haven't heard much about the Steam Machine. Nope. But AMD did have their earnings call. And on the earnings call, they did talk about the Steam Machine because the Steam Machine, of course, is powered by AMD hardware. AMD CEO Lisa Su said, Valve is on track to begin shipping its AMD-powered Steam Machine early this year. So it still seems like we could see Q1 release of the Steam Machine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This whole memory thing is just, I have a feeling it's just going to, and I the memory price and just the price in general of this, I think is going to scare a lot of people.
Yeah. I think now the price is it's well over $1,000 now. I mean, it has to be, unless they're going to eat that cost somehow or find some crazy supplier. I don't know, but so hopefully, I think you're going to, if it comes out in Q1, it's going to be late Q1. So end of March for my guess. When do you think?
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. We just haven't seen or heard enough.
And there's not enough
that it's coming out.
There's not enough stability in the market yet, too. We haven't seen a month of stability in that pricing, right?
Right, stuff's still going up. You continue to see articles and hear about, you know, OEMs and stuff just having to continually update pricing.
Yeah,
so they may not have even settled on a price yet.
Yeah, so that's gonna be interesting. So we'll keep you guys updated on that. Also on the gaming front, Aya Neo has put out this bug. Aya Neo, I feel like you're a bug that like swarms and like almost gets in your like this thing is
it's, like a little gnat just
it's
like
gonna happen
hanging around. Yep,
it's gonna happen. This person said, family, I'm in a PC crisis, could y'all help me? If you're asking for a free PC, no. I'm gonna get like a lot of DMs on Instagram, hey, can you send me a free PC? No. But if you have a PC-related question, we definitely can help you. Aya Neo put out a gaming phone. So Aya Neo, we know mainly for their mini PCs and their gaming handhelds, but this is a gaming phone. It is designed essentially like an old Xperia Play, if you know that, yep. If you're familiar with that. It looks very much like it. I love stuff like this, though.
It is cool. Yeah.
It is like, if you're a gamer and like this is if you're primarily gaming on your phone, I know you can get like the Backbone and like the Razer thing. Yeah. And like, but this is just like built into the phone. Like the controller is built into the, like, how cool is that? Right.
Yep. I like this.
Yeah. It's super, super cool. 6.8-inch OLED display, 2400
hertz.
Yeah, 1080 resolution, 165 hertz. Expected in 2026 with a Kickstarter campaign started soon. Naughty Minds in the chat said his x87 motherboard was working fine last night, and now I turn it on and get code 22.
Who's the vendor who makes that code? Will be different.
Yeah, all you have to do is Google code 22 motherboard, and then your whoever makes the motherboard. So if it's like Asus or Gigabyte, and then you kind of go from there. That's kind of how you would troubleshoot that.
This is launching via Kickstarter.
Yeah. The thing about these is like the thing about these phone ones, and why we probably don't see more of these, like Razer has a phone and Asus has a gaming phone. But the reason you don't see a ton of these is because like too many of us are just in our ecosystem, right? You always buy a Google Pixel, right?
I mean, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah. And like I'm an iPhone guy, and like somebody else is, and you're just on that thing. Yeah. So, Naughty Minds. So if he said Auras, so that would be Gigabyte. So you could either just Google code 22 or motherboard error code 22 Auras or motherboard error code 22 Gigabyte. And you have to troubleshoot it from there, because it could be a multitude of different things.
Also, if you've got multiple memory sticks, like try them one at a time and in different slots. I did find someone that had an XA70E Auris board that had a code 22. Theirs ended up being their CPU, it sounds like, at least from this Reddit thread. So, yeah,
you just got to troubleshoot. It takes a while, and you have to try different things, but that's the best way to troubleshoot. I've had to troubleshoot like that multiple times.
And call the, you know, call them up, get a hold of their tech support. Let them know what's going on, if that's an option.
Yeah. Especially if it's still under warranty, that would be another thing. Now, would you ever buy a gaming phone?
It's kind of like the whole handheld thing, right? Like I don't play enough games to probably, you know, pay the cost premium. Plus, you know, like this thickness, it looks a little thick. I don't want a thick phone, so probably not.
Yeah.
I can see my son.
Wait until we get like a quad fold, you know, Huawei thing. Let's need one of those. Oh, we just got to wait for the implant that goes in your eyeball, and then you just see everything, and then you're just like, you know, that's what we need. That's what we need right there.
Wally over here.
Yeah. Also, a really cool mini PC. This is from Ace Magic. This is very retro themed. This is the Retro X3, powered by Ryzen. I just love these little things, but it's like I won't use it. That's the sad thing. Uses a Ryzen 7 H255 processor, which is 8-core, 16-thread. It uses a Radeon 780M iGPU.
I don't see why, like, this thing, it comes with a 2.5 gig Ethernet port. Like, seems overkill to me, but you know what I mean? For gaming, like a gig versus 2.5 gig gets you absolutely nothing. Like,
I think it's just probably part of the chipset.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I get it. Yeah. 275, that's not bad for bare bones. Like, to me, I'm more excited about this as like a little like home server
type of thing. There you go. Yeah, it's nice and small, like I said. I mean, pretty cool. But that one is from Ace Magic. And then we move to, at one time, this was the best streaming machine out there. At one time, it was the most overpowered.
Way overpowered,
Way overpowered. It was expensive at the time. I forget how much it was. But it came out 10 years ago, which is a long time. And it's still getting updates. It's still being updated to remain useful, which I think is a great thing. And what I'm talking about is the NVIDIA Shield TV. This thing was a beast when it came out. I wanted one so bad, I just couldn't justify paying for it, because I forget how much it was, but it was... But like, especially when you can get like a Fire TV stick or what was the Google thing called?
The Chromecast?
Yeah, like a Chromecast for super cheap, and this thing was very, very expensive. But this is still getting updated. It came out in 2015, and it's still getting updates.
I mean, they released the latest version of it came out in 2019 is how, you know, recently they've offered one. I was trying to find a price here.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 2019 model features a Tegra X1 processor, which again is still like, if you compare it to like a Fire TV stick or other things that are out there,
it was only $200.
It seemed like it was more than that when like the original came out, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, 2015, $199.
But there's a really cool article over at Ars Technica, about how they're still keeping this updated and why they want to keep it updated. I think it's a good thing. Even though when you think of NVIDIA, you don't think of like a little streaming box, but it's cool because you get these things and then they like, you know, you have like 5 years of updates and then kind of just stops updating, unless it's like a major, like a Fire TV will always be updated just because it's like one of the big major players. Yeah. Like NVIDIA isn't remotely a big player in the streaming market.
I wish we would see this more because, and we saw it, you know, with AMD and their AM4 socket, not quite 10 years or anything like that. But the same thing goes for like Microsoft forcing a lot of folks to get new hardware with a move from Windows 10 to Windows 11. This thing's 10 years old, still getting updates. It's capable of doing everything pretty much that it did when it came out. Same thing could be said for a lot of those CPUs that were running in people's systems that just because a company says, oh, we've got to support X, Y, or Z. Like they're essentially either being e-wasted or thrown away or relegated to running Linux or something that, you know, doesn't care about the age. Like, I feel like we can get so much more age out of so many pieces of technology, but that doesn't make those companies money every year or more money every year. So we won't ever see that, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think that it's cool. I like I said, the article is actually pretty interesting as well. So we have it linked from our article, but pretty awesome that the Shield TV is still getting updated. Yeah. Now here's one that you might not believe, Ryan.
I know. I saw this and was like, I don't know about
Windows 11 surpasses 1 billion users, outpacing Windows 10 adoption rate. Now, this is kind of forced.
Yeah.
It is like a forced upgrade. So I don't know.
And it outpaced the adoption rate. Doesn't mean there's more people running 11 than 10.
Yeah. So Windows 10 for 1 billion users took 1,706 days. Yep. Windows 11 took 1,576 days. Like I said, it's kind of forced. There's a lot of issues which we've talked about and we'll talk about here in a second with Windows 11. But I mean, I've had issues with it and I have Windows 11. I mean, so I don't know, but it's not horrible. What's the worst Windows?
The worst?
Vista?
I mean, Vista's kind of crummy. ME is kind of crummy, but that's so old that like you can't even compare it to current OS.
I think Vista is the worst.
Yeah, probably in modern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about 8 and the changes they had to make.
Yeah, 8 was pretty trash.
Like, too. No start menu, right? Like,
here's
these tiles and...
Yeah, I didn't like that. Actually, that might be the worst, to be honest. I totally forgot.
8.1, though. 8.1 was the thing, so...
Yeah, I forgot all about the tiles. I forgot all about that. Old man said Vista was awful. Yeah, I mean, probably the worst window.
But Vista is so old. Like, that's still, so long ago.
It was still so bad. So moving into AI. AI is in everything, right? We're getting all these AI tools, and a lot of people just, like, don't want AI. Why do I need AI in like Microsoft Paint? Or like, why do I need AI in Microsoft Notepad? Like, what am I using AI in like in Notepad for? It's there, right? Yeah. So it looks like Microsoft is reevaluating their Windows 11 AI strategy because people are pissed. Like I said, AI everywhere. You know what I mean? Like I said, there's Copilot in Notepad. Like, why is Copilot in Notepad?
If I want spell check, I'll go to Word.
Yeah. There is spell. Is there not spell check in Notepad?
I don't know.
But yeah, and like the big thing with like the Windows recall, essentially like recording all everything that you're doing. Like there's so many things that people aren't, they don't want, and they, and I do feel like in general, brands have just like shoved AI down our throat, and like, especially with Windows, it's like, it's just there now. Like you had no option to turn it off. It's there and you had no option. I believe when Windows recall came out, you had no option to turn it off at, and then they've in like, they rolled it back where you could, but like a lot of these, when they come out, like there's no option to turn it off, which I'm definitely not a fan of. And that's why a lot of people are pissed. Old man said, isn't that AI in File Explorer? Probably.
And that, like that keyboard, that Asus keyboard, you know, it had the Copilot button on it even, you know, it just makes its way everywhere.
Yeah. It's just like, So it's good that, no, it's honestly good that there's been so much backlash, and that it does seem like Microsoft is making an effort to kind of listen. Cause like, I mean, years ago, they would just, it's like nothing ever got fixed. And like, you know, so I like that. I think a lot of companies are realizing that like a lot of people don't want the AI. They don't want any of that. They don't want, a lot of people don't want their data being used for AI training in general either. So it's nice that we hopefully will see sort of a, let's just rein it in a little bit. You know what I mean? Firefox has come out with essentially like an AI kill switch, because again, people were pissed about the AI features just being turned on and you couldn't turn them off. And, you know, so now within Firefox, you can essentially block all AI enhancements that are part of the browser. So if you needed to go ahead and do that, you can just turn it off, which I definitely like. And it, like I said, it's down in the browser. You can turn everything off, or you can turn certain things that you want on or off. I think this is how it should be done. If you don't want any AI, you can just turn it off. I don't know what your thoughts are on all of this kind of stuff.
No, I like this ability. Again, I think I wish more of these were like opt in instead of opt out. And it's only opt out because there was so much backlash.
Like, yeah.
Make these things optional for me, not forced.
Yeah. Yeah. And like when it comes to most of these things, they're just like on by default and they don't tell you or anything like that. So hopefully we see more of these like block all AI, block all that kind of stuff. But that rounds up news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at the keyboard. Or wait, no, not the keyboard. Actually, the keyboard's the following week. I'm taking a look. Actually, review comes out tomorrow, guys. I don't know where my mind's going here. This review comes out tomorrow, but I'll be taking a look at the ROG Kithara gaming headset. So this, I guess you would call it a audiophile style gaming headset. I already talked to Ryan about some of my thoughts on it, and we'll get to that next week on the podcast. But this has 100 millimeter planar magnetic drivers. I'm not an audiophile, so I don't know what that means. But it does have really good sound, and it comes with a lot of different features. It comes with a ton of different cables. You can connect it to essentially everything. And this is like Asus's, like, this is our audiophile style gaming headset. So definitely stay tuned for that next week. And I'm also taking a look at a motherboard from ASRock. This is their X870 Tai Chi Creator. So if you weren't familiar, ASRock now has a sort of creator line of motherboards under their Tai Chi series. And it's black and gold, which you could say looks like something else. But I actually like the design of this board. I actually got to see this first at Computex, and I have it here, and I've been testing it. Really nice looking board. And again, with Tai Chi, you know you're going to get some just all-around features that you kind of want in a motherboard. So I'll be having a look at that next week as well. Sweet. And then coming to our question of the week, I was thinking about this. It's like new year, like, you know, as the year comes around, you're always like, is there anything that I need to get? Like, what do I want something, you know, like, is there any piece of tech you would want right now?
At the moment, not really. I mean, I keep thinking I want to do another build, but just the prices of stuff, it's like, not really interested, right? In a move to DDR5 and Gen 5 storage, right? Those are expensive. I'd love to have a 9850X3D, but that's what, to launch at $400 or $500. Either one, $400 minimum, and then you know, probably $300 motherboard, because I do have a motherboard picked out that I do.
And
like.
$500 in RAM,
at least $500 in RAM, and
that's if you want 32. That's if you want 32 gigs. If you want 64, right, you're at $1,000
exactly. And I've got 64 in this, and right now Task Manager's telling me I'm using 22, so that's too close to 32, and so I'm gonna want 64. So, I'm lucky enough, and you know, that I've got a decent system still running, so I don't have that need. I maybe some new Wi-Fi access points, because I'm still running Wi-Fi 6, so having 7 would be nice. But then again, we don't really have a ton of Wi-Fi devices that are going to take advantage of the benefits of 7. So,
well, if you buy a new, new motherboard, it should have Wi-Fi 7 on it.
The one I'm looking at does.
Yeah, so there you go.
But I'd be the only one taking advantage of it, and I wouldn't use it anyways because I'd be using the 2.5 gig wired connection. So,
yeah, old man said he would like, he's like, I like a new cable modem router. Prices have definitely gone up.
I don't even know what like a cable modem costs. Like routers, sure. But yeah, I bought my cable modem when I was on cable. Like I bought it once and then maybe upgraded once or twice, but I don't ever.
Yeah. I like when I was,
remember them being super expensive, but they must've gone up.
Are you renting your stuff now?
No, I don't even pay a fee. I mean, it's baked into the price, but I don't have a separate fee. Like some people using my ISP do, like, I'm not using any of their firewall or router or anything. I'm using my own. So the only thing I have is the ONT for the fiber.
I think I don't even know. I know, maybe I'm not. I don't know if I'm paying because when I was on Comcast initially, like way back in cable days, I initially was like, you had to rent your cable modem. And then I eventually bought one because I was like, I don't want to keep on paying. And now I have AT&T fiber, and I don't know if I don't think I'm paying like a rental fee for the whatever you call the modem and the router. So I don't know.
Right. Well, but you're not using their router, right? You're just using their ONT and then putting it into like a ASUS or something, right?
No, the thing that it goes into is a router.
Oh, you're using theirs.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're not using a big old ASUS with looking thing.
No, I am, but like the fiber comes into their thing, and then
what are you doing?
I don't. What am I going to put the fiber into?
Well, the fiber. Well, yeah, the fiber goes into the ONT, which is like a small box, and then
The fiber goes directly into the router.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. So with AT&T, the fiber the fiber goes directly into the router.
They may have another option.
And then I have it. I have that wired to a nice ASUS Wi-Fi 7 router that does everything. So,
gotcha.
So yeah, for me, I saw it at CES and I want something big like that.
Are you going to say that 52-inch Dell monitor?
Yeah, I want that thing.
We were talking about that at work last week. I sent my boss, actually my boss's boss. I was like, because I had a meeting with Dell a couple weeks ago, actually. And she was like, well, this, that, and the other. And then we just released this 52. And I was like, oh, yeah, here's the content Bob made on it. And my boss was like, oh, I was like, yeah, I would have been there, but I didn't go this year. But here, check this out. And, that thing's sweet.
Just like, okay, so I have a 49 inch, right? And it's great. I have three screen, or you know, three windows here. It's awesome. But that this gives me a little bit more vertical space, and I kind of like that. Yeah, that's like the only thing tech related that I think
cost prohibitive though. It's what, like $2,800 or something?
Yeah, it's expensive. It is $28.99.
Yeah.
So it's just big. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I sent my boss. I was like, here's the link to read about it and see our stuff on it. Because he was like, ooh, that's kind of cool. I was like, it is.
It's huge. Yeah. Anything else tech related you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I mean, I like this case, like, you know, switching over to this Lianli case. It's got like a kind of that fishbowl look, right? The front's glass, which I'm not used to, and pops off real nice. It's got some reverse fans. It's the first case I've had with reverse fans.
I know you're like, you were so dated with your case. Like, I mean, you,
but like, I like that case. I really like that Define. When I remember reviewing it, thinking like it was just built well. It was sturdy. It was quiet. It's held up through what, dozens of all-in-one cooler reviews. Like
probably 30 at least.
Right. And every time, you know, I'm flipping it down, putting components in, putting it back, you know, clicking stuff in and taking the top off, and
yeah,
it's like a champ.
Nice. Yeah. Nothing new tech for me. We'll have some really cool stuff coming up though. We have some cool stuff coming in and some new reviews. So definitely stay tuned for all of that stuff. Of course, it is Wednesday, and that means that it is gaming time. So we're going to hop over from here to Twitch. Ryan runs that stream. So if you want to keep on hanging out with us, that's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody who was in the live stream, Old Man, Naughty Minds, and of course everybody that listens later. And we'll catch everybody next week.